This is a replay of the Thursday night, March 30th WGN show. We started around 11. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and well, I was right. Yeah, from what I knew about the Gwyneth Paltrow trial, I said, nope, jury's going to find for her, and indeed, they did. Yeah, fairly quickly, too. So, no big surprise there again when you looked at all the expert witness testimony and everything else, not to mention on the day of the accident, the report from the skiing instructor who said that, in fact, Paltrow did not hit Sanderson, the guy who sued her. It was the other way around. There was just a mound of actual evidence that had it not come this way, I would have been very surprised. But so that is the deal there. Now, what'll be interesting, she only countersued for a dollar. However, she countersued for her legal expenses, which, when you saw the cavalcade of expert witnesses that were coming in on that case, that is not coming cheap, to say the least. And interesting, I don't know how Sanderson's defense was paid. Was this a contingency case? Because, of course, there are so many attorneys now, and the idea of filing a contingency case, if all they have is time on their hands and they don't have other cases, well, why not? Well, who pays for the legal fees? Does the client have to pay them, Sanderson? Do the attorneys have to pay them? So that's an interesting story, and I don't know that we'll ever know, but I found that fascinating. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. And you hear from Sherry all the time, and Sherry often references Jim. And Jim, who was in rehab, well, welcome, Jim, to WGN Radio. How you feeling?
I'm getting better, getting stronger.
Good. Are you doing outpatient rehab?
Yes, I am now.
Okay, so what's
going on? Which is a good thing.
Yeah, you betcha it is. What's going on with the foot?
The foot's feeling pretty good, but I still need a lot. The leg is hard, not working that good yet. I need more therapy. I need more work on it to get the strength back.
Well, you will. Strength is
too long.
Yes, strength is actually probably easier to build than a number of things you could be tackling. So you will. It'll just take a little time.
Yeah.
All right. Well good.
One thing I like to talk about. You mentioned about semi-private rooms in the last couple of weeks.
Yes.
Okay. I'm not sure they. Hospitals and rehabs have semi-private rooms yet. You know, most of them.
Some do, yes.
Most of the rooms are.
Right.
Some are still wards.
Right. Increasingly, it's going away because of the amount of hospital-borne infection. But you're right. It's more common than not. And as far as I'm concerned, I'd run from that scenario.
Well, one thing, in a hospital, when you're in a hospital, you usually get so many services. Somebody's in your room every hour or 2 hours. So if anything's happening, they know something's going on. or you're on the monitors.
Mm-hmm.
But in the rehabs, one reason maybe to have a couple people in a room is if one person can't get to their call light, they can ask the other person. I've had that situation. Or the other person couldn't find their call light, and I had to call for them.
Right. Oh, so. Undoubtedly. But and that's decisions people make. In my world, nothing outweighs the idea of avoiding hospital-borne infection, and it would be all private all the time or nothing else. But there are many reasons that originally they did go for semi-private, and one of those reasons was just what you're describing. So it has legs. I just don't think enough of them to want to be in that situation.
No. Well, I've been in so many hospitals and rehabs over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And previous to that, I got relatives. My mother was in rehab, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And uncles and so forth. I got 5 stories if you got time.
Sure.
Okay. The first one is back to my mother. She had a bad case of shingles.
Mm-hmm.
Long before there was a vaccine for it or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So she was not able really to get out of her bed. And they put her in a room with this other lady who had 4 kids, except some days the kids were in their late 20s. Other days they were in their late 40s. She didn't know, she had dementia of some type. So she really didn't know how old her kids were, how many grandkids she had, et cetera. What they would do with her is they would put her in a wheelchair and let her wheel out in the morning. She would stay away, have breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and then come back. They would bring her back in the room at night. And the first time I encountered her, this nice young CNA, I found out later he was a med student. He was earning money for his medical school. But what he would do is he would bring her in the room, pull the curtain, get her out of the wheelchair, and within a few minutes she would be yelling rape for 10 minutes.
Right.
Okay. And that occurred a couple of nights. Then there was a night that he was off, and what happened is 2 female CNAs brought her in because they needed 2 of them to get her out of lift her out of the chair. They weren't strong enough by themselves. And the same thing happened. She was yelling and raped. Because what she would do, she would sit. She would never go to the washroom.
Right.
You know, she was away for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So when they brought her back, they had to clean her up, and as soon as someone touched her private parts, she was yelling and raped.
Mm-hmm.
It was, but eventually, I got my mother out of that room because it was.
Yeah.
She was getting worse and worse. But anyways, that's one story. I got a few others here.
I can tell you're related to Sherry.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I had this 84-year-old guy that he was living in basically in an independent assisted living place. And he was, and a few months before this, he had both developed some dementia and I had a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to a couple hospitals before they brought him to this rehab where I was, and he obviously, for some parts of the day, he was very good with the people. Other parts of the day, he was fighting the nurses and stuff. Mm-hmm. He bit a nurse. He hurt a few of their arms. He was threatening to hit, knock their teeth out. And he was strong enough to do this. He could not get out. He could not actually stand on his own without help right there because of the stroke he had. But he had a lot of strength, and he always wanted to get out of bed. And they put this monitor on him, and whenever he started moving, it rang, which nicely woke me up at any time of the day and night.
I know but, you. By the way, I know you don't mean to, but you're making my point for why private rooms are, in fact, better. So
Almost all these places have a floor for the dementia patients. Okay, and they're usually full, so they bring them down. Even in the hospital, I had a dementia patient as a roommate. You know, so. It's, I guess there's so many of them that they don't have the facilities or the things to handle them. But anyways, that guy, sooner or later, they took him away once. They brought him back. They went to a different hospital. They brought him back again. And his friend from the assisted living finally seen how bad he was getting. You know, he was getting violent, et cetera. Because he always wanted to go upstairs to his bedroom.
Yeah.
That's because he was on a 2-4 thing. He didn't know where he was. Anyways, finally got rid of him. They finally took him away. They did not bring him back. I have no idea what they did with him.
All right, next story. We'll forget about him. All right, move on.
Yeah. Okay. My initial roommate in the rehab, I had him for 3 weeks. Okay. Now, I was non-weight bearing for a couple of months after the operation on the foot. Okay. So, I basically could not get out of bed. So, but now he was rehabbing in the room for about 10 days. And then he got good enough that he was able to leave the room for lunch and go in the common area with the people. And that lasted for another, 8-10 days. Then one evening, he came back, and about 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night, he started coughing and breathing so hard that he could hardly breathe. You know, called the nurses. They tested his oxygen. It was very, very low. They got oxygen immediately. Did the COVID test. He was positive. He was in bad shape.
And he's your roommate. So, as I say, I rest my case. What's the last story?
Right. Okay. No, there's two more. That's the third one.
All right.
Okay. I had, in a different rehab place, I had this blind roommate.
All right.
Okay. The only thing when I got there, he wanted to talk to me for a day. Because he had some roommate from hell before me, which I thought I knew who the guy was because I had him for a day or two. And he had him for a couple of days. And he was very upset. Now, all he would wear is his underwear. No other clothes. Unless they were taking him out, then he would put on pants and a shirt. But what was interesting, now him and I got to talking. He had a radio on basically 24 hours a day, but he kept it low at night so I could sleep. But one thing he liked in his room, and I let him set the thermostat. He set the thermostat, this was summertime, at 66 degrees. Okay. Which is kind of cold when you're just laying in bed and doing nothing.
As I say, you've given me 5 stories here confirming my points. Private rooms.
Okay. The last story is a guy that actually did go to rehab and got out and walked out and went home. And hopefully I'm going to have dinner with him in a few weeks or a few months. He was a... played bass for in bands. He played with Tiny Tim, and then he went down to New Orleans and played. I forgot the name of the country western star, but I can't remember who it was. The big name. He was in his band for four years down there, and he played all around Chicago.
Oh, good.
He came back because his wife and kids were here. But he actually recovered. His name was Rudy Garber.
Okay.
And so he was a guy I enjoyed being with. a lot of stories, a lot of information, and a good roommate.
Well, good. And now you're out and you're healing and you'll keep up with outpatient and you won't have to eat the food and everything's good.
Yeah, definitely, yes.
All right.
I'm a fool, hopefully. I got other stories. I'll call you back on that one.
All right, yes, absolutely.
On the food, so.
All right.
But,
well, good luck to you, Jim. Thanks for checking in.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right.
All right. So
you're welcome.
Jim's at home. All's well. Yeah, man, the cavalcade of roommates. Well, there goes one keyboard. I'm telling you, private patient rooms, it's the way to go. I wasn't even thinking for those reasons, but man, oh, man. All right, so 888-876-5593. Since we had a couple birthday boys this week, Johnny D wanted to hear Chuck Brown and the Soul Searchers and actually wrote me an email complaining I hadn't played it yet, so I will. And equal time for Mark and Aurora, we'll finally get him Mary Wilson's Telephone Man. So a couple other requests coming up. Your calls, if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. I think I just proved that right here. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Keep what you got until you get what you need, y'all. Give a lot just to get what you need sometimes, y'all. Give me the bridge now. I feel like busting loose. Busting loose. Give me the bridge now. I feel like busting loose. Busting loose now. Busting loose in the evening. She's on. Talking about busting loose, y'all. Busting loose to my love, Jones. Busting loose to each his own. Give me the bridge, y'all. I feel like busting loose. Give me the bridge, y'all. Give me the bridge, now. I feel like busting loose.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, give me the bridge now. All right, Chuck Brown. I think he has a career. If you know, music fails him at some point. Didn't in 1978, by the way. That was number one for 2 weeks on the R&B charts, 34 on the pop charts. So big hit. But if it does, I could hear this guy doing disclaimers. Yeah, he could do them justice. I think so. So 888-876-5593. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. Was more customer disservice all day today. Just amazing. And the first one was, I probably told you about the laptop, and I finally killed it, the screen. Yes, just deader than a doornail. And so it was that I found a place that, yeah, we can have a new screen in a couple days, and you can come in and we'll replace it while you wait. Don't worry about a thing. So today was supposed to be the day. And so I called about noon and got somebody on the phone. Oh, yes, we were just going to call you. No, that's not in yet. Hold on. And whoever it was went away for about 5 minutes and came back and said, nope, I'd say call us early next week. And I'm going, huh, this was supposed to be today. But I take them at face value. And, you know, ever since then, by the way, I've been wondering if I dialed the wrong number. But in any event, I go out, do other things, come back. There's a phone message from the computer place. Other guy saying, your screen's in. If you can be here in the next 20 minutes, we can put it right on. Yeah. So, of course, they're not available tomorrow. No, why would they be? So that continues. But it's just been all the way around like that. And, you know, we've talked before about customer disservice when you're calling the 800 numbers. But I'll tell you what, a close follow-up is the user manual. Now, I realize that all these products are made in places where, well, you can find China on a map, but probably not the particular province in which your item was made. And who knows who it is who is going to translate the manual. Of course, in some things, it's worse when they just give you pictures. Yeah, I tell you what. But we'll pick it up right there. We're going to find out what's going on in the world at large and then continue with Something Close to Nothing right here on WGN Radio.
I rented my apartment on a Monday at 1, singing to Lolly Lolly Shaky Bum Shaky Bum. Started moving in it on a Tuesday at 2, singing do lolly lolly shaky do shaky do. Wednesday at 3, I called the phone company, singing, hey baby, put a phone in for me. Thursday at 4, he came a knocking at my door, singing, hey baby, I'm your telephone, and you just show me where you want it, and I'll put it where I can. I can put it in the bedroom, I can put it in the hall, I can put it in the bathroom, I can hang it on the wall. You can have it with the buzz, you can have it with the ring, and if you really want it, you can have a ding-a-ling, because, hey baby, I'm your telephone man.
Can you believe that? And then he says,
no, when other fellas call you, tell them how it all began.
Well, can you imagine? My heart began to thump and my mind began to fly, and I knew I wasn't dealing with no ordinary guy. So while he was talking, I was thinking up my plan. Then my fingers did the walking on the telephone man, singing, hey lolly lolly, hey lolly lolly, hey lolly lolly, get in any way you can, right? So I got it in the bedroom, and I got it in the hall, and I got it in the bathroom, and he hung it on the wall. I got it with the
buzz. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James and the late Mary Wilson. She was a trip all the way around. That was 1977 on GRT, and she was a gal who was raised in Marietta. She was born on a United States military base somewhere in Japan, but grew up in Marietta outside of Atlanta, and was the real deal musically. Got a BS at IU at the Jacobs School of Music, and then got her master's at Georgia State. She moved to Dallas, and she was originally a guitar soloist there on background work, and then she, you know, she did some performing in clubs and stuff, but she did a lot of background stuff as well. And while she was there, the guy who was the lead vocalist for Blood Rock, you remember DOA? Yeah, it doesn't get more nuts than that, right? Jim Rutledge from Fort Worth heard her, introduced her to Boomer Castleman. She said, you know, I wrote this, Telephone Man, and they decided they'd release it, and of course, it was a hit. And a surprise to all of them, sold over 1 million copies. And from that, she went on to do other double entendre songs and all that. And she went back to Atlanta. She was teaching music there and in college, and she also was singing in clubs and occasionally touring. And, of course, Dr. Demento really made her star on that show. And then, about 1999, she released an updated version of Telephone Man. Oh, yeah, you got to hear something. I'll play it in a moment. Internet Man. But, sadly, it was a few years later, her second car accident, the first one in 1975, sidelined her for quite a while. She was in a body cast for like a year or something. But in 2002, right after Christmas, she was on State Route 377. If you're in Americus, you know where that is. And of course, you know what happens in Georgia when winter comes and ice comes. And it was an ice storm. And that was it. She died in the crash. And so only 53 years old. So that was Mary Wilson. But before she died, as I say, she updated it with Internet Man. Somewhere here.
Logged on the internet on Tuesday at 2, singing do la 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 shaky do shaky do. Wednesday at 3, there was an email from me saying, hey baby, do a program with me. Thursday at 4, he came and knocking at my door singing, hey baby, I'm the internet man. You used to tell me how you want it, and I'll load it in your RAM. Plug it in and the
morning. Yeah, I kind of like that. I'll load it in your RAM. All right then, Mary. Yeah, so she was quite the trip, and like I say, died way too young. But it was Mark in Aurora who had requested that. So there you go, Mark, and a belated happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you. Oh, boy, I knew this would be a tie-in. There was, years ago, a case of a Japanese translation company who put together an owner's manual, and it had instructions in it about, you know, for instance, take the number four machine screw and put it in this hole number one here. But the Japanese translators kind of got mixed up, because instead they said, take the number four machine F word and put it in this number one hole right here. And they did this throughout the manual.
This is great.
And so it became a very blue manual.
That's great.
Because every time the manual said screw, it substituted F word.
Oh, that's
and
great.
That was the work of Japanese translators.
That's great. I love it. You know, at least you can laugh at that. But what's horrifying is, like I say, it's bad enough the pictures. That, especially on now on all the RTA, the ready-to-assemble furniture, all they give you is pictures. Good luck. But you get a manual, and it's a combination of pictures and text, and it makes it seem so easy. And most recently, I was just trying to A-B between an HDMI and a VGA input on a ViewSonic monitor. How hard should this be? How hard should this be? Anyhow, when I finally stumbled upon, no thanks to the printed word or drawings, the right answer, I literally felt like I solved the grand unified theory. It was like, oh my God, I've done it. Yeah, it was a sense of accomplishment. But I was there for 2 hours with this damn manual, which of course led me down the garden path to hell. You know, if I followed exactly what they told me to do, I'd never see the other monitor.
Well, I just bought a Bissell vacuum cleaner today at Walmart, and it only comes with a single instruction sheet, and I have a feeling that I did a lot better as a blind person assembling the thing by feel than I would have done if I'd read the instruction sheet.
I guarantee that's right. I don't doubt that for a moment. Yeah, I love when they say quick start guide. That's the one page, quick start. What, are they kidding me? I guess quick is a relative term, to say the least.
Well, especially when you think, you know, you've got two or three different holes on the vacuum cleaner, and you're wondering, where do I put the hose?
Right. Yeah. You know,
and that could give rise to lots of double entendres.
Oh, of course it could. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Well, rest in peace, Mary Wilson.
But I got it put together.
Good. Good. And it's sucking rather than blowing. The reason I say that is if you put the hose in backwards, you get exactly that.
Oh.
You get a blower.
Oh, yeah. I haven't plugged it in and tried it yet, but I'll be having to get to that soon.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as long as it sucks. I mean, that's what they're supposed to do. Yeah.
Oh, I've had a splendid birthday so far. Lots of people doing real nice things.
Good. Excellent. Well, good. Well, it's the big 65, so it's kind of a landmark.
And there's still no Scotty call, huh?
I'm very worried about this. And I don't know what to do.
Well, if he isn't with us anymore, he has gone to a better place.
Well, yeah, but I can't imagine there wouldn't be an obit. And you know I'm looking every day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, thank God, I'm glad I'm not seeing one. But, you know, if he's not doing well, you know, I'd love to know where he's not doing well so we could maybe cheer him up or send him things or whatever he needs. And I don't get any response. And, of course, I'm not there where I could go door to door.
Well, at the risk of a bad pun, if he does call in, we're not going to let him off scot-free.
Oh, God. Yeah, we're not. No, absolutely. But but I don't know. I assume that he's still with us, and I hope whatever it is just kind of a blip on the landscape, and he'll be back to call in soon.
Well, I do remember him mentioning that he had a friend that he had to look after, and it's possible that that situation has gotten quite intensive.
Oh, absolutely. But I hope someone is looking after him as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And caretakers have a notorious habit of not looking after themselves.
Yes. Oh, tell me about it. Yeah. It's very often harder to be a caretaker than a patient, I know.
Yeah, not to mention the old saying about put your own oxygen mask on
before
you put
exactly. The other. That's right. Don't help your child before you help yourself, or you're both going to plummet to hell. Yes, exactly.
Well, it's good that we can still laugh about it.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully Scotty is able to laugh with us soon. And Scotty, if you're out there, give us a call. We'll see.
All righty.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Good night, Raleigh.
All right. So, I worry about this. I do. Anytime somebody who calls regularly just kind of drops off the scene, I worry. But Scotty, we know, had been dealing with some health problems and not getting some of the best responses either, which I wasn't too pleased. So, 888-876-5593. We'll talk to Steve in Milwaukee. We got Rick in Northern California. We got room for you, too. But right now, we've got it. All right. It's time for Walter's Perspective, sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com.
Well, way down yonder on the Chattahoochee, it gets hotter than a hoochie-coochie. We laid rubber on the Georgia asphalt. We got a little crazy, but we never got caught. Down by the river on a Friday night, pyramid of cans in the pale moonlight, talking about cars and dreaming about women. Never had a plan, just a living for the minute. Yeah, way down yonder on the Chattahoochee, never knew how much that muddy water meant to me. But I learned how to swim and I learned who I was, a lot about living and a little about love. Well, we fogged up the windows in my old Chevy. I was willing, but she wasn't ready. So I settled for a burger and a grape snow cone. I dropped her off early, but I didn't go home. Down by the river on a Friday night, a pyramid of cans in the pale moonlight, talking about cars and dreaming about women. Never had a plan, just a living for the minute. Yeah, went down yonder on the Chattahoochee. Never knew how much a muddy water meant to me. But I learned how to swim and I learned who I was, a lot about living and a little about love.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, there is Chattahoochee. Yes, the river and the hospital for the criminally insane in Florida. Other than that, yes, indeed. Alan Jackson. And, yeah, number one for 4 weeks on the country charts in 1993. It was Stacy who said, play some by Alan Jackson. And I mentioned it to Big John Levinsky, our morning man on our FM, and he programs it too. And congratulations to Big John, because he does all the music on that. You know, I love my R&B oldies, but when it comes to a country blend, including classic rock, I'm lost. He does it, and we're number one in the county, so once again this year, so congratulations to Big John. But anyway, I was mentioning to him that Stacy wanted Alan Jackson. Chattahoochee, you got to play Chattahoochee. So there you have it, Stacy. It is Big John Lubinsky approved. Chattahoochee, number one for 4 weeks, country 46 on the pop chart. So 888-876-5593. We'll pick it up there next hour with Steve, with Rick, with Marianne, and James. Hopefully you too on WGN Radio. In the dark, oh, in the dark. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. And yes, those are the Isley Brothers, Footsteps in the Dark, Part 1 and 2. Marianne in Chicago wanted to hear that, 1978 on T-Neck. Actually, a flip side of Groove With You, and a fine song of its own merit as far as I'm concerned. So, 888-876-5593. Steve is in Newark. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. Good to hear Don's voice, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a question about Scotty.
Yeah.
Has anyone tried a wellness check on him?
Well, I don't really know how to do that. We've tried to call, and his line is not taking any messages, and I don't know any way to do that.
You call local police.
Yeah, you know, I've thought about that, and the problem is...
Because I've done it.
Yeah, I know, and I'm really on the fence about that, because when people give us their address for winning prizes and stuff like that, we really hold it in confidence, and I don't know if that's too invasive. I don't know if I have the right to do it.
I don't know either, because I've only done it on relatives.
Right, exactly. And,
not a friend.
I don't take it lightly that people share their information with us. And, in fact, I won't even pass it along to WGN. We keep that
here.
And so the idea that I'd call authorities not knowing more about the situation, I'm like, I don't know about this. I wish I knew somebody who knew him so I could send somebody over to just check on their own, but I don't.
True. Okay. Hey, can I make a request for a song?
Yes.
I don't know if this is your genre, but Johnny Ray, Cry.
Okay, Cry. Sure, his biggest hit. You betcha. Yeah, Cry, the little white cloud that cried and all that. Yeah, I'll be happy to do that.
Yeah, when I was in grade school, when that was a popular song, one of my classmates, my best friends, he had an amateur thing, and he sang it, and he was up there singing, and he started crying.
Oh, geez.
And the little girls, you know, this was in like third grade, you know.
Yeah.
All the little girls around started crying.
Oh, that's so funny.
So,
yeah, well, Johnny Ray was unique, and the reason he sounded like he did was he was deaf. And so...
Right, I just read his bio.
Yeah,
yesterday.
Well, then you know, and you know about him and Laverne Baker right. Discovering and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, Johnny Ray was pretty amazing in all sorts of things, including before it was a hit by Tommy Edwards, Please Mr. Sun, and Walking My Baby Back Home, and Little White Cloud That Cried, and a lot of stuff. So, yeah, I'd be happy to play Cry.
Okay, thank you, honey.
All right, thanks for calling. So,
yes,
indeed. So, Steve gets Cry. Let me write this down. I'll do that tonight because I think that's right on this computer and probably the 45 version, too. I hope, anyway. We'll find out. So, Marianne in Chicago. All right, Marianne, welcome back to WGN.
Hi, Raleigh.
Hey, Marianne.
Hey, I can't believe I heard my Isley Brothers.
Yes, you did.
I thought, I might have missed it during the week because sometimes I doze off during the show, but thank you.
Sure.
And I can't believe, who was the man that had the birthday that requested the telephone man?
Mark in Aurora.
I had been meaning to ask you to play that since I'm retired from the phone company for the longest time.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah.
Do you know about that follow-up song, Peter the Meter?
Oh, of course. She had several. She had an album's worth. Yes, and Dr. Demento proudly played all of them.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, and sadly no longer with us.
And, you know, about with calling the police for a well-being check?
Yeah.
I recently had to do that for a friend.
Uh-huh.
I didn't get the response I wanted, but I found out, you know, why she wasn't returning my text messages and...
Is she no longer with us?
No, and to this day, I don't know. I was the very last one to hear from her. I've known her 5 or 6 years. She was my ride or die. The ride ended way too soon.
Uh-huh.
We text, you know, during the day, did you watch this show? How about this? How about that?
Yeah.
Let's go here. We go out together twice a week. Since I'm stuck with this walker, she'd help me in and out with my walker.
Yeah.
When we go to the pool, she made sure people didn't trample me.
Yeah.
And I was texting her, and she said, well, we're in quarantine for COVID.
Oh, geez.
The end of July. And I said, oh, God, how you feeling? And she said, better. And I sent another text and didn't hear back and sent a text and started calling. And ooh. I knew where she lived, but I didn't know her address.
Yeah.
But when I called the police department, I was able to tell them, she's two blocks from your station.
Yeah.
And she lives over the UGG store where they sell those UGG boots.
Okay.
Oh, we know where that is.
Yeah.
So they went over there and had her boyfriend call me back and I want to hear what I heard, and I still don't know what happened to her, and she was only 57.
Wow. Wow, so, yeah. Far too much of that going on right now.
You're stuck between a rock and a hard place with Scotty.
Yeah, I just don't feel right about sending authorities, because you never know about somebody's living situation and all of that, and I don't want to do anything that would ultimately, assuming he is alive and all that, would not be to his benefit. So I just don't know.
I know. And then you got to wait. Oh, gosh, if we heard that. Oh, yeah, he's okay. That's all we need to know.
Yeah. Well, I hope.
We don't need to know his living conditions. Or
exactly.
Maybe there's a good reason for this, but.
Yeah.
He's got an awful lot of people worried, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. And I'm sure, I can't believe he doesn't have a lot of friends. And so I'm hoping that somebody is going to take that next step. The only other thing I can think of doing is trying to find somebody in Chicago that I would trust and give them the address and say, all right, you're going to Indiana. Check this out.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I don't live that close to Indiana. I mean, I would if it was somewhere I could get to, I would not.
Exactly.
I'm taking a heartbeat to go over there and blow my horn. Scotty, get your ass out here.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, hopefully the word will get to him. But I don't know of anybody who also calls the show who was close to him. So it's not like I can reach out to someone else and say, hey, go check.
Well, I was thinking because one time when a couple times when he thanked you for things you sent him.
Yes.
And he'd say, oh, I gave my niece this CD and I gave this one that. And they all loved it. Okay, they knew they were getting things from WGM.
Right, well, yeah, but I don't...
I mean, I know if somebody passes or there's a horrible thing, somebody gets left out of the phone calls, but you would think somebody that he shared all his gifts with would call WGM and say, hey, he's fine, he's out of town, or whatever.
Well, John just said he's got an idea. So, John, what's your idea? John's going to have an idea here. I can't wait to hear
WGN
this.
WGN Radio Prize Patrol.
WGN Radio Prize Patrol.
WGN T-shirt.
Oh, yeah, right.
For Scotty.
Yeah, really, exactly. Well, when I was in, I know one of the reasons John's thinking of it. When I was in Denver, occasionally I would deliver the trivia prizes. And it shocked the hell out of people, but I would. And I had a very, very good friend who, unbeknownst to anybody else, he was a CIA operative. And on the weekends, he had an oldie show under a different name for a while when he was stationed at Los Alamos. And he was on the air in Santa Fe. And one day he came with me, and literally the CIA delivered their prizes. They didn't know it, but that's what happened.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
got such good stories, Raleigh.
Yeah, I don't know. The reason I'm on WGN, of course, is because of Sean Compton, and I know that Sean is a fan of Scotty, so I may ask him to take a drive.
He's probably not on Facebook, right?
No, I have no social media contacts for Scotty at all.
Does anybody know his last name?
Well, his last name is Scott.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, if you tell me his last name is Sampson, I was going to be like,
no.
When I got my cell phone, I kept getting text messages from the last owner of the number, and it was Scott Sampson.
No, no. His last name is Scott, and we're not going to give you his first name because, again,
okay, no. I just thought, would that be a coincidence or what?
Yeah, no, it's not that. But I think that, one of these weekends, I think Sean's going to make a road trip. All right.
I have a friend who lives in Gary. Is that far somewhere?
No, it's not far at all. But, again, I don't know your friend, so that's the problem.
Yeah, but I can go, hey, when you see somebody, are you Scotty?
right. Well, no.
The posters. Scotty, please call WGN.
Yeah, exactly. Well, maybe we will hear. I'll keep you posted.
Or can you mail them something that says, please call us?
Yeah, if it gets there, I haven't, and I'll be happy to do that, but if I can't even leave a phone message, I'm not too hopeful about the U.S. mail, but why not? I'll give it a try.
Yeah, you got his address. I mean,
I do have his address, yes. All right.
He might be checking his mail for prizes, so there you go.
Yeah, all right. I'll keep you posted.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
And you guys, one last question.
Yes.
Whose voice is that at the beginning of your show?
Oh, Stephen B. Williams. Stephen B.
Did he ever answer your phones for you?
No, Stephen B. was my closest friend. He did mornings in Denver for, 10 or 20 years, and he was number one in Honolulu before that, and he was a voiceover guy. And sadly, the reason we met and bonded was because my closest friend in St. Louis had been murdered, and Stephen had worked for him. But here's the upshot. 20 years later, almost to the day, Stephen was murdered. So, yes, his body was found floating up by Catalina Island.
No, they never found who did it?
Oh, I know who did it. Yes, I know the whole story.
But I mean, the people that count know who did it.
Yeah. But it's a long and tawdry story all the way around.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Over the years, a lot of other people have asked to do my voiceover, and I've always said, nope, as long as I'm on the air, Stephen B. Williams will do my intro.
There you go, because he does have a really nice voice.
Yes, he does. Absolutely.
And I swear, the first time I called your show, when John answered, his voice sounded just like him.
No, it was not. Stephen died in 2006.
Okay.
So it's been a while, and I'll never fully get over it. And
it's one thing to have a friend.
He was
of normal, natural circumstances, but to be taken from this earth when you're still got life to go.
Well, exactly. No, he was the third of the murders, and I won't get into that. But
On a happy note, I used to live right across the street from the school where that officer in Nashville breached the school and shot that shooter.
Oh, wow.
My next-door neighbor knows the family real well. She says they're such an upstanding, down-to-earth family.
Oh,
and I said, well, that man is a hero.
He is a hero, but, it's tough. I don't care what the situation is. When you take a life, it's tough. So he's a...
Yeah,
it is. So he absolutely is a hero and did exactly what he should do. But my prayers are with him for emotional recovery because it's not easy.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, I know they're just stories, but when I watch these detective stories, when somebody shot somebody for the first time, they have to go in for therapy and
absolutely.
Get over it and
absolutely. Yeah, and, if you don't, then something's really wrong.
Uh-huh. Yep, you're right.
All right. Well, good to hear from you. Oh, did you have another request? Is that what you were calling?
Well, I asked if you could play maybe sometime, not tonight, but next week, Peter the Meter Reader.
Oh, you really want to hear that, huh?
Okay. Please.
All right. Well,
or any of her songs. I don't know if I know them all or not, but those are the two I remember.
All right. I'll do it. Thanks. Appreciate
it. Okay. Good night, everybody.
Yes. So 888-876-5593. We'll get some Johnny Ray on next. Sam from Gurnee, I think, wants a little Johnny Ray. We've got Rick in Northern California, James on the South Side, and Room for You on WGN Radio.
If your sweetheart sends a letter of goodbye, it's no secret you feel better if you cry. When waking from a bad dream, don't you sometimes think it's real? But it's only false emotions that you feel. If your heartaches seem to too long, and your blues keep getting bluer with each song. Remember, sunshine can be found behind a cloudy sky. So
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that, of course, is Johnny Ray. And that's Johnny Ray and the Four Lads, you know. It was number one for 11 weeks on the pop charts. It was number one on the R&B charts, too, in 1951. He was from Oregon, sadly died of liver failure, just 63 years old in 1990. But Little White Cloud That Cried was big, and that was on OK. And so many other things that were very interesting, and an interesting act all the way around. But his voice was distinctive, but it also gave rise to all sorts of parodies. I can't tell you the number of people who parodied Cry. So 888-876-5593, Sam is in Gurnee. What's up, Sam?
Hey, Raleigh, I was listening, and Johnny Ray, I was calling because I heard you speaking about Johnny Ray. The voice is so familiar, but I'm very confused because I'm not sure, so I don't want to state that he actually did one of my songs. But I wrote a song in 1984 by the title...
Hang on a minute. Stay exactly where you are, and sure. It's time to find out what's going on in the world at large, and then we'll go back to whatever it is we're doing here on WGN Radio.
Everybody loves to cha-cha-cha. Little children like to cha-cha-cha. They like to cha-cha-cha. They like to cha-cha-cha. Ooh. Everybody likes to cha-cha-cha. Took my baby to the hop last night, and what to my surprise, when we got there, she hit me with the news right between the eyes. Yeah, she said she couldn't do the cha-cha-cha. She said she couldn't do the cha-cha-cha. She couldn't, no, she couldn't cha-cha-cha. Ooh, my baby couldn't do the cha-cha-cha. I told her not to worry, they'd play some other dance. But we sat there for an hour and a half, and we never got a chance. For every song they played was the cha-cha-cha.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and it was Mary in Milwaukee who wanted that. 1959 on Keen, got to number two on the R&B charts, and 31 on the pop charts, the time when the cha-cha was extremely big. All right, so 888-876-5593, and I interrupted Sam when he was just getting to the point. So, Sam, what's up?
Hey, Raleigh. Yeah, this is Sam from Gurnee. I was interested when I heard you talking about Johnny Ray, because in 1984, I think 83 or 84, I wrote a song by the name of A Boy in Rugged Jeans, and I sent it out to several studios, and there was a studio in Hollywood, California, and if I'm recollecting, I don't have any of this in front of me, if I'm recollecting, because it's all in boxes, I think it was Sunrise Studio. They agreed to do a copy of, agreed to record the song, and the singer on the song was Ray, R-A-Y-E, and I believe it was Johnny, but I'm not certain, and that's my trouble, but as I listened to his voice, I thought, well, it certainly sounds similar to the guy that was on the record, unless it may have been his son or something, but also, after that song was recorded, the song never really did anything. I have a 45 copy of it somewhere in a box.
Mm-hmm.
It never really did anything, but it was in the catalog at the U.S. Copyright Office, and the writer who wrote Patsy Cline's "Walking After Midnight,"
yeah,
contacted me. I wish I could recall his name at the moment. I don't. But he contacted me by letter, and he asked he said, I saw your song in the Copyright Office. I'd like to possibly do a co-write with you. And so we agreed to some terms with that, and he did a co-write with me, and shortly after that, he died. And I apologize, I don't remember his name.
Walking After Midnight was Alan Block and Dan Hecht.
No, it wasn't. It was Don Hecht.
Yeah, Don Hecht, right.
D-O-N-N-H-E-C-H-T.
Right, and he was a co-writer with Alan Block on that.
Yeah, so Don Hecht was the man that contacted me and found my song in the copyright office, and so he asked if he could do a co-write with me on the song that it was. He said, I'd like to make some minor changes to the song. I think we got a hit here. And then he died shortly after that, so it's crazy. So nothing ever happened with it. But anyway, the original guy that did the song was from Sunrise. He recorded my song out of Sunrise Studios in Hollywood, California, and his last name was Ray. And he sounds very similar to the guy that you're speaking of, so I was trying to see if there's a connection there. If I don't have it in front of me. I wish I would remember his first name. I don't.
Sunrise was on the Fox lot. I remember Sunrise Studios was right on the Fox lot. And don't know much else about that. Johnny Ray, you know, it could have been because he did find himself in L.A. As you probably know, he had a huge problem with alcoholism. Because
I don't know. I know so little about him. The transaction that took place between me and the record company was I sent it out to, like, I'm going to guess 50 companies.
Right.
And then I received a response from one or two or three. And the one I received from Sunrise was, hey, we're willing to record your record. We have this singer. And I could swear it was Johnny Ray, but I'm not. I know the last name was R-A-Y-E.
And Johnny Ray, there's no E at the end of it.
No, there's not.
No, okay. There is absolutely not. But as you know, his life, I don't know if they did make a documentary about him, but it would probably be a good deal. You know, he allegedly fathered Dorothy Kilgallen's son, so that was quite the deal. But he was gay and very closeted, and that was always an issue with him because, of course, you know, he was born in like 1920, so you've got very different times. And so he was born in Oregon, but he probably first was singing in clubs in Seattle, and he was basically doing R&B. He went to Detroit and was at the Flame, and the Flame was notoriously R&B, and that's where he wound up hooked up with OK Records. And it was interesting because Robin Seymour was involved with that, but never got anything for it, the disc jockey from Detroit. But he knocked around in a lot of places, including doing some stuff, some movie stuff. 20th Century Fox cast him in some things, and so and then like I say, he was very close with Dorothy Kilgallen. And then later in the 70s, he wound up appearing on TV shows, the Andy Williams Show or the Tonight Show, things like that. And he continued to perform in clubs in the 80s. It's interesting. He influenced a lot of people as far as that goes, including Ringo Starr claims the Beatles. So who knows? But he was in a Billy Idol video, believe it or not, and in the 80s. And he was doing big band when I was in 87, when I was on the air for a while doing mornings in LA. He was doing big band stuff, and then he was in Las Vegas and stuff like that. And he's big in elsewhere, you know, like a lot of performers, Australia and Great Britain and things like that. But that's the deal. One of the stars he really loved, the singers he really loved, was K-Star, and you can hear a little K-Star in him. But he was big fan of Laverne Baker and vice versa, obviously. That was Johnny Ray.
Can I ask you this? Are you familiar with any other singers by the last name of Ray that came out of Hollywood? Like I said, the voice, when I hear his voice, I almost want to say that's it. I wish I could. I mean, I have the 45 somewhere. It's in a box. I need to need to dig it up. It's been buried for a few decades.
No, it could be anybody. The first person that comes to mind actually is female, and that'd be Susan Ray, who was
a male.
Yeah, he was. She was Bakersfield. She was one of the proteges of Buck Owens. And L.A. Okay. International Airport was her hit, Susan Ray.
But the singer I'm talking about his last name was definitely R.A.
Well, yeah, but who knows?
And he was out of Sunrise Records.
Right, but who knows what his name was is what I'm saying. That's the name that appeared on the record.
I see what you're saying.
You know, I remember Mundo Earwood, when he was being produced under Charlie Rich's stable, they changed his name to Mundo Ray. No E on it. But so, you know, they'll call them anything they want. You have no hope.
I see.
You have absolutely no hope of pinning it down with that information. You need more.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's very interesting. I mean, you're educating me because, even as much as I know that stuff goes on, I never thought about it in those terms. So you might be saying Scott Jones did the
absolutely.
Song
in fact,
like Sam Gray or something.
Right, absolutely. In fact, that's more likely than not.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. I don't mean to waste your time.
Oh, that's great. Well, good luck in finding it. Now, by the way, when they recorded it, they did not charge you, did they?
I don't really recall it exactly. I think there might have been some kind of a charge involved. I'm not sure, but I know that it was Sunrise Records. I remember the RAYE. They did a great.
Yeah, I just didn't know if it was a vanity label where they would basically charge you to record your stuff.
I don't think so. I'm not really sure. I can't. It's been so long. It was 84, so it's a long time ago. But I remember they sent me a copy of the 45. I got two copies of it. I have one of them left. I gave one as a gift to somebody else, and I played it a few times. I thought it sounded good. My mother loved it.
Right, right, yeah.
So that was a blessing, and after that, I just really never followed up on it, so I didn't know whatever happened with it. But the name of the song was A Boy in Rugged Jeans.
Wow. Yeah. I'll look around for it, see if it comes up under anything. A Boy in Rugged Jeans.
Yeah, I do know that they did file it with the Copyright Office in Washington, D.C. because they sent me a copy of that.
Well, sure, they would. The sounds actually, as I say, like a vanity label where basically they're charging you and they're having anybody they can get, and they name them anything they want. So it could have been some guy who was doing demos or some guy who was singing background or whatever. Very common, but I'll see what I can find out about Sunrise and find out whether it was that kind of an operation.
Thank you so much.
All right, my pleasure. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Yeah, bye.
And not that there's anything wrong with it, but more often than not, that's the case. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. Rick is in Northern California. What's happening tonight, Rick?
Hello, Raleigh.
Hello, Rick.
Anyway, yes. By the way, that guy yesterday around this time, he was trying to get that Ride song on there from Vanity Fair. Let It Ride.
Right, right. Yes, I have been told that by I can't tell you how many people, and I'm sure. In fact, I thought I'd play a BTO record next. Not that, but one that I actually like. There is one.
There's a bunch. They're great.
Well,
they're awesome.
Well, my favorite was Looking Out for Number One. I thought that was just the absolute best. And of course, it got to number.
That was a good album cut, right?
It got to number 65 with an anchor in 1976. But I loved it. But yes, Randy Bachman and all that, one of the great people to come out of Winnipeg.
Oh, yes. Well, but guess who? I mean, it's a fantastic group. You know, speaking about Johnny Ray, you know, as we go to our music portion of our conversation, it's funny. He had in the Cry song a lot of doo-wah-doo-wah.
Yes.
I think at the same time, the TV show I Marry Joan had that doo-wah sound in her I Marry Joan at the same time the years they were out. They might have coincided with each other on who, you know what I'm saying?
Well, that was the four lads doing doo-wah.
Okay. All right. Right. Well, that's. I just was wondering when I watched one time one of those old.
Yeah.
Ones,
oh yeah. No, it was very in vogue at the time. Absolutely.
Well, now to move off to the music. Now the customer. yes. You know the manuals.
Yeah.
You know, they are, many of them are, if it's not written wrong, they're written to the assumption where they think you know. You know, what is wrong with it is if you have five different parts to put something together, they go from like one to three, or they don't go intensely. Let's say if they went from go from instruction one to number two, the number three, and then what you did in number one, they'll say push a button. Meanwhile, there's three buttons on there, and I don't know if it's the green button, the red button.
Absolutely.
It's like 1.1 is not explained, or 1.2, then go to the next major move, the number two in the instructions. And I've had to explain that to some of the customer services, and even some of them when they're on live. I say, wait, you got to get back and you got to tell me a little bit, what about this here? You know, don't assume, because I got to use that again, and it may not be the right,
right
button. And I remember one time I was on for a long time. I bought a NAS system, and this was the late 90s, and a long, long time ago. And I called up a customer service. I couldn't somehow. There was a certain portion that wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, sometimes, look, I don't feel like using my brain. It's bad enough. I just want to get this thing going.
Right.
And I'm on there with this Indian customer support guy, and I'm assuming he's, you know, obviously he's going to know more than I am. So we go over this, and, you know, he would tell me, go to this, go to that. This is still not working. That is still not working. And on the other side, while he's still trying to get some updates and so forth, I'm so pissed off. I want to figure this out while he's
right.
And then somehow when we go over the instructions, I managed to figure it out. And then we both agree that the instructions were written completely wrong on that portion of those instructions to get something to work.
Yeah.
And in a way, I was proud of myself, but I feel like, you know, I shouldn't have to go through that when I pick something out in the box and so forth.
Right, absolutely.
It's just a lot of times now, a lot of times the customer support, you got to bring them back to, wait, before we go to number three, I'm still on number two, 2.1, 2.2, you know, if we got a little 4/10 of the point, we need to concentrate on that. Don't assume and jump real quickly that what if I don't? What if I hit that wrong button? We got to start all over again because I didn't know what exact button you told me to hit. That's where instructions and customer service is lacking.
Oh, to say the least. Yeah, as I often said, they're very instructive. They teach you how to curse, you know, throw things.
I come out some of these places fuming. I mean, you just wish. Yeah. I'm not going to say anything else, but I mean, I am just like really fuming because, you know, I make a list of things to do each week, and sometimes they range anywhere from 7 to 12. And here this week, now, if I'm finally at this particular portion while I'm on hold, I'm doing something on this list. So now I have out of, 10 things, actually 12 things. Now I only got 3 things left to do. But that used to wipe it out by Thursday. But it's Thursday, you know, and I made it Sunday.
Yeah.
And by the time you get to get anybody to answer a phone or talk, or even when I'm trying to buy something, I've never seen anything like it. It's just
you're absolutely right. You've damn near ended the show, but we'll talk in depth about this next week because there's much more to say. So thanks for calling.
Okay,
good. All right. I found Ray. All right. So, Sam, if you're still listening, his name was Buddy Ray, and that wasn't his name. All right. But on Sunrise, he was Buddy Ray. He was also Dick Castle, Dick Kent, Elmer Plinger, and Sonny Cash. But he was Buddy Ray, and he did record on Sunrise in the 80s along with Michelle Wood, who also wasn't anybody named Michelle Wood, but you get the idea. They had, I guess Hollywood Sessions was an album they actually put out, but they recorded a lot of other stuff too. I don't know if it was Vanity or not, but that's who it is, Buddy Ray. All right, I'm glad we had this talk. Well, we'll get to Don and Beloit before the waning hour, I hope, and Stephanie and Madison and And Bruce is a first-time caller, though, and you know he's going to trump it all. So we'll go to Bruce next. And remember, we'll also have next week. Yeah, I'll let you know what the sports interruptions are in moments right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. I was going to do Looking Out for Number One, but we have less than 2 minutes left. So we'll spend them, I'd like to say we'll spend them with everybody here, but Don in Beloit, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, it's great hearing your voice as usual.
Thank you.
Well, you know, maybe I'll catch you on the next one, but I got, you know, you always have people run into their dictionaries and music libraries and... You always, because of Charlie Rich, I looked up a lot of things. Did you work for him in 1982?
No, I was long gone by then. I was gone by the end of 75.
Oh, okay.
No.
Well, the reason I called, I've been thinking about this for a while since you had that one night you were talking about it so much a couple of weeks ago, but 1982, boy, Mickey Gilley, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Charlie Rich... 3 grand pianos all on one stage. Yeah. You know, and wow, what a great concert that was. And I was just curious, like, how that came together, or your thoughts on it, and so on. And
well, it was
Gilley's.
It was an obvious pairing, and none of the three were at the top of their careers, but all of them were still viable. So it made a lot of sense.
And Mickey and Jerry Lee were first cousins, apparently.
Of course.
Right.
Of course. And, you know, we've got other people in that mix, too, including that preacher, the one who got arrested in Kenner. I can't think of his name right now. But anyway, yeah, absolutely.
And Charlie, of course, was a fellow Arkansas buddy. Like,
Charlie was definitely Arkansas all the way. In fact, when his business manager made him move to Memphis because there was no state income tax there, he was none too happy. He would have much preferred to stay in Arkansas.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I thought some show you should maybe like talk about maybe some of the songs. They played such a collection of songs on that concert.
Yeah, well.
And Gilley's,
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Gilley's, of course. And even before.
82. I'm sorry. 82 was like the pinnacle of his career with Urban Cowboy coming out. I mean, I just got out of high school, and oh, my God, it was so everybody that I knew, I wanted to learn how to ride a mechanical bull. And Gilley was like at the top of the tops at that time.
He did very well, yes. Pasadena, Texas, his own. Spent many nights there before anybody knew who the hell he was. Anyway, we'll talk about that some night. And who knows? Call me next week.
Okay.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah. Apologies to Stephanie and to James. And okay, so next Monday, let me real quickly tell you. Monday Night Trivia will be on about a half hour late due to NCAA basketball. Tuesday will be on, I'd say an hour and a half late, Blackhawks hockey. Got a full show next Wednesday. And next Thursday, we got about a half hour to talk. So I would say, we'll have plenty of time to, Wednesday all night and Tuesday as well. And of course, we'll play trivia on Monday. And until then, that's a wrap. We thank, we thank everybody. And I just realized I'm done thanking everybody. We thank Adam. We thank John. We thank you. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.